Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it is that time of the week. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in our good friend Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD, brought to you by Freedom Tire Guys. TD, what's going on, man? How we doing?
Hey, good morning. How's everything, man? Everything's awesome my way.
Everything's awesome this way as well. Appreciate you taking time to join us here today on the show. And TD, just a few days away now from Titans training camp. What excites you the most about this Titans team as you head into training camp with obviously going to be a lot of buzz around this team with Julio Jones coming in? What are you most excited about to watch at training camp coming up next week?
I'm most excited to watch the communication on both sides of the football. I think that's something to really watch out for. You got the dynamic duo, right, Mike and Scotty, and A.J. Brown and Julio Jones. And I just want to see how that communication goes with Julio Jones and Ryan Tannehill just getting on that same page. Because that's something that I asked him, you know, about the hype and the excitement with those two guys being together. And he said none of it matters unless we're all on the same page. So I want to see what they do to get to that point. I'm excited about that. And then the communication in the secondary, I'm really excited to see that continue from how it was in minicamp. The guys were really talking and just, you know, whether it's an in-breaking route, you know, you hear the corner yelling in, those type of things, or you hear Kevin Byard, you know, saying what the motion is going to do and resetting the secondary that way. So those are all things that needed to be fixed, and it was something that Byard specifically mentioned every time he was asked about the secondary problem. So I'm looking forward to seeing those things, just how that plays out.
If there's one position battle or maybe positional surprise that you might forecast right now, TD, anything come to mind?
Yeah, a whole lot of reps for Briley Moore out of Kansas State. He's going to, I think he's going to emerge as the H-back, and he's going to, you know, end up being in that rotation. I would say he's going to be the third tight end. That's the surprise from my perspective.
The Titans come to an agreement with Elijah Moulton, and we've talked to you many times. Obviously, you're very high on him. What specifically do you like about him? Why do you think that he is so well set up in a rookie season where you're trying to learn everything on the fly at the NFL level? Why do you think he's set up so well for success in his rookie season?
He's what I would call a gold helmet prospect. And when I say that, what I mean is there really aren't too many areas of question for him. And I think he's set up so well, and I wrote about this just because of how he was brought up in football. This is a guy that understood the game from a pro perspective in middle school, you know, as an eighth grader, you know, because his dad, Alex Moulton, taught him how to watch football, you know, how to watch film and coverages and understand situational aspects. So you have the mental part of it. And that transfers over to his ability to play in the slot. And that's something that I talked to Lewis Riddick about, you know, just the way that he could process everything and act so quickly. And he has the willingness to tackle, you know, so he helps out from that perspective. He could cover. He could play safety if you need him there. You know, he could be in single high center field type of situation. He could be in two high. He could come down and match up against, you know, some of the bigger receivers. I think that's why it's just he has a complete game and it's just he's complete from all aspects, you know, the mental part of it, the physical part of it. I think that's really what's going to help him. And then I have to give credit to Jimmy Lake as well. You know, Jimmy Lake, his coach at Washington, that guy is just he's a defensive back breeder. You know, a lot of Washington guys go into the league and they do well. So I think that's, you know, going to bode well for Elijah Moulton also.
Staying on corners, and TD had an awesome story about Christian Fulton and his brother and the apparel business they've started here in Nashville. And to me, Christian is, he's one of the most important players, mm-hmm. I think, in terms of really needing, you know, that bump. Obviously, banged up some last year. He's a rookie. You're figuring things out. What do you think his second season looks like if he can stay healthy? Is he ready to be, you know, a starting outside corner and a plus corner, you think, in this league?
I do think he's ready to do that. And for me, with Christian, what I really like is his man cover skills. And I think that's something that doesn't get talked about anymore. We talked a lot about it when he was coming out at LSU. And that's something that Mike Vrabel, you know, really credited him with, being able to be a match kind of corner. And I say this, go watch the Alabama game if you get a hold of that. You know, he matched up against Jerry Jeudy, held his own, and then he held his own against Ruggs. I think we were able to do that in one game. I think you deserve credit. But I just feel that he's going to continue to develop. I know he's working hard with different trainers and getting back on course. He had an injury last year that he never even heard of, he said. And also, you know, being under COVID protocol, he only played, I think it was, what, six games. So it never really came together for him. But he's a talented player, and I expect him to be right there in the mix for right corner as well as a nickel spot.
Teron Davenport on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And obviously, TD, a couple of guys on the defensive side of the ball that are dealing with injuries and are coming back from injuries in Bud Dupree and in Caleb Farley as well. It's a different setup this year, obviously, than last year in the preseason. There are actually some preseason games that take place. Is there a timeline, and we'll start with Dupree, is there a timeline where you'd like to see him back on the field as a full go? Is it important at all to get him in a preseason game for you this preseason if you're the Titans, or is it as long as he's close to full go by week one, is that good enough for you? How active, I guess, would you be with Bud Dupree in training camp if you're Mike Vrabel and the Titans?
Yeah, I wouldn't have him on the field as far as, like, in full pads, you know, at all during camp. I wouldn't expect him to be either. And as long as he could be there in the mix, you know, just on the field, he doesn't have to be there participating, but on the field, I think that's fine. And I don't think he has to play a preseason game because it's not like, you know, he's out there trying to develop timing with the quarterback. You know what I mean? It's a different situation for Julio Jones. But I think for Bud Dupree as an established veteran and a guy at his position, I think you can wait to unleash him. It's probably the safer way to go because if you look at the timeline right before, so December to September, you know, that's 9 months, you know, just a little over 9 months. And that's a good timeline for his knee to be fully back. So as long as he could be out there cutting and doing some of the things that he needs to do with Brian Bell and the training staff over there, I think he'll be fine. It's just a matter of just getting that confidence back with the mental side of it, you know what I mean, and then allowing that to roll over into the season.
So, TD, pretty significant news yesterday with the NFL. You know, essentially coming out and saying, you know, like, if you can do reschedules within the framework, you know, that may happen. But other than that, you know, forfeits could be a thing this season. Some pretty strong words from the NFL. And then the NFLPA statement to me kind of read like, please get vaccinated. You know, we've talked about this. I would also say it seems like there's been pretty significant progress in terms of a lot of players around the league deciding to do so. Where do you think things stand right now, and what do you think of how that all came down yesterday?
Yeah, and actually Jeremy Fowler reported this morning that it is up to 16 teams over that 85% threshold.
Ooh, I missed that. Wow.
That's pretty encouraging for the league. Me personally, where I stand, you know, I still feel it should be a personal choice, and I understand there are, you know, inherent risk associated with not being vaccinated. But it's just tough for me to tell somebody that they have to do something against their beliefs, you know, but at the same time, there are consequences, possible consequences. I think the bottom line is we all, even those who are vaccinated, it's a must for each of us to make sure that we're still, you know, addressing this thing with caution and understanding that it's not gone. So that's pretty much where I stand on it. It is, you know, it's here. And I think we just have to continue to adjust. But even as reporters, you know, we have to get vaccinated if we want the access that we need in order to better do our jobs. So it's just there's a lot going on. I guess that's pretty much the easiest way to sum it up.
So, TD, what can we find on the latest edition of Talking with TD this week?
Well, yeah, we talked about vaccines and COVID just now. So I had Dr. Amish Adalja, who is out of Johns Hopkins University. He's the senior advisor there, and he's someone who's an authority on vaccines and, you know, these type of situations that we're in, pandemics, et cetera. So he's on, and then we have the Rel Murchison Talking Shop, and I have Run TMC with Chris Sanders, and that's where he gives a rather awkward top five running back list, so definitely make sure you check that one out. I give one, too. You know, you might find mine awkward, too, because my number five is his number one.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's very interesting. Make sure you check that out on the latest edition of Talking with TD. Our man Teron Davenport joins us every week here on the show at 8 o'clock. TD, great stuff as always, man. We appreciate you taking time to join us.
Yeah, appreciate you guys. Take care. Enjoy your weekend.
Absolutely. You as well. TD, one of the best in the business, Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD, brought to you by Freedom Tire Guys. I'm interested. Wonder what Chris Sanders' running back list was.
I mean, if both don't have Barry Sanders one, I got a problem. Real quick on the breaking news, I missed that with Fowler. 16 teams. That's pretty significant. Meanwhile, Kirk Bowles, we mentioned him earlier, Austin American Statesman, been there for a long time. He says a prominent Big 12 source tells him the Texas OU move is almost done. They've been working on this for a minimum of 6 months, and the A&M leadership was left out of the discussions and wasn't told about it, end quote. Move could become official in a week. I feel bad about my called shot right now. But, man, the Aggies. What do the Aggies do? They just grit their teeth and take the check.
So is Jimbo going back to the Big 12?
Man,
he's leading the charge.
I bet you Jimbo is screaming at someone just that into a phone right now.
I bet he is as well. When we come back, we will continue the conversation on the Titans and the NFL as well. Get to vaccinations. The NFL with some very strong language yesterday when it comes to vaccinations and some possible consequences that NFL teams could face this season. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nashville SC fans join ESPN 94.9 this Monday, July the 26th from 7 to 8 p.m. for NSC Backstage featuring Nashville SC players and coaches. Watch the show online via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and thegamenashville.com. NSC Backstage brought to you by Camarena Tequila, the official tequila of Nashville SC. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts all show long on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And yesterday, Joe Rex Road, the NFL coming out with some pretty strong language when it comes to vaccinations and the forfeit word being thrown around again. And basically what it boils down to is the NFL, I mean, they're not mandating vaccines, and they did not take that step. But essentially what they did was say, hey, if you're not vaccinated and you run into some COVID-19 issues as a team this year, you are subject to forfeit. And we've talked about this a lot here on the show. I think that's the last thing the NFL wants. As you've mentioned many times, these games, not only are they heavy TV inventory, but fantasy football is involved. Now gambling is involved as well. I mean, there's a lot of different financial elements that go into this. So this is something that the NFL wants to avoid pretty much at all costs. But I said it heading into the season. There's no way, in my opinion, that you can treat it the same this year as you did last year now that a solution is at least there. And you got an option to avoid some of these things. And as we've said many times, I think there will be some positive tests of COVID-19. We've already started to see some of that. And the vaccine does not prevent you from testing positive, but it does prevent you from having some serious complications that go along with that. And the NFL making their stance pretty clear yesterday with the statement they came out with. And it seems like, at least that's the way they made it seem, that forfeits will be on the table at this point.
Yep. And look, I think, I mean, frankly, at this point right now, July 23rd, like a month ago, if you told me they'd be at 16 and that they'd be, you know, well over, I mean, that's got to be pushing close to 80% on the player front overall. I don't know if there's that number out there or not, but it's got to be. It was already over 70 not long ago. If you told me that a month ago, I would have been pleasantly surprised. So I think overall it's a good response. I also, and we had TD on last segment, love TD. Listened to TD some in his segment, you know, with Jared and Caroline yesterday. And
the TD Power Hour.
The TD Power Hour. And I fully agree with his just overall approach to this, the vaccination question. I think that empathy is important here, you know, with people not being sure about the vaccine. And there are totally legitimate reasons to, you know, to have reservations with something that was approved so quickly and all that.
Sure.
I'd also say, like, reach out to medical people and try to get good information. So I think empathy is really important. And for the most part, it's been a good conversation. And then you get a tweet like Jonathan Feliciano of the Buffalo Bills. You see this?
I did not.
Well, he's deleted it, but this is what he tweeted yesterday. And the Bills, I mean, it's just quite a scene.
It's going
well
over there.
Here's the quote from Jonathan Feliciano, which he has now deleted. Quote, it's been proven that COVID was made in a lab. Fauci also a part of Pfizer. That's why people don't want to get the vaccine. Sad to come to the realization that you cannot trust the government. End quote. So, see, I have no empathy for morons. So that's where it ends. And you still have some of these things that are going around too, unfortunately. But
Cole Beasley's been on a run, hasn't he?
I mean, yeah, what's he? Has he been? Yeah. And again, like Cole Beasley, you know, the thing is, and he's kind of like the target of all of this because he's been so outspoken. Like, I looked at some of his tweets, and the thing is, like, there were actually a lot of people being very – of course, there's always going to be people on Twitter that are
sure.
like, you're an idiot, I hate you, you know, right? But there were actually a lot of people like, Cole, it is a personal choice, but it, like, it does affect things. You know, it affects everyone else. If you get the vaccine, you don't have the mutations of the virus that now are, in some areas, filling up the hospitals again because, you know, unvaccinated people, yes, you can test positive, but as you just said, if you're vaccinated, the numbers are overwhelming that you will not have serious symptoms. The people that are having problems are largely 97, 99% unvaccinated. I mean, it's been actually an incredibly successful vaccine. That's the real information. And then you have someone in the NFL tweeting something like these conspiracy theories that are just incredible. And that's the problem, is you have to battle against misinformation that's so twisted. And then there's a real conversation in the middle about, hey, I mean, I'm just not sure. Look, I've said it before, I'll say it again. I didn't want to get my kids vaccinated.
Sure.
I was hoping the adults would get vaccinated to the extent that it wouldn't be necessary. But it is necessary. So they are getting vaccinated. And that's the real discussion. It's sad to me that, you know, that this other stuff gets brought into it.
I would agree. Now, the question that I saw some people ask yesterday and that I still wonder – from the NFL's perspective, when it comes down to it, and if you're Roger Goodell and the NFL decision makers and you're staring in the face the idea and the proposition of actually making a team forfeit a game, are you going to do it?
Yeah.
Like, I think that's still a legitimate question to me.
Oh, I think you're still doing every possible thing to avoid that. And again, you still have some wiggle room. You know, you have some wiggle room within that. To not do it, but like if you ask me right now, will we have a forfeit in the NFL this year? I have to think hard about it. I wouldn't be shocked if there was one or two. But then again, I mean, if we're at 16, you know, think about it. If you're a player on an NFL team, and you're sort of look, some people are just resolved not to get it, and that's it. That's that, and it is their choice. You know, DeAndre Hopkins yesterday had some tweets that ticked people off. Some people are, that's just how they feel, and you know what? No one can make them do it. That is for sure. But if you're someone who's kind of on the fence and you're really looking into it, and I mean, we've heard this from some NFL players too. I mean, Ezekiel Elliott said it the other day. He said he grew up in a house that in general was like against vaccines.
Yep.
And he decided to do it. If you see 16 right now, I mean, I think you've got to be thinking in terms of competitive advantage, don't you? Like now you will be soon, your team, if it isn't there, will be in the minority in the NFL in terms of not being fully vaccinated. Does that spark enough response that maybe the forfeit isn't even a thing we have to talk about this year?
Well, and I think also was asked and seems like to be the case as well. Like you could still, again, you could test positive and have the vaccine, and that will probably also happen at some point this year with an NFL team where they've got a few guys test positive that may have the vaccine. It sounds like the NFL in that scenario be a little bit more lenient when it comes to the rules and how they go about handling that situation.
Yeah, I mean it's going to be right. So if you've gotten vaccinated and you test, and again, like so. I'm getting tested Monday to cover camp, even though I'm vaccinated.
Right.
Everyone in the media, you have to demonstrate that you're vaccinated. Like, in fact, during the show, I'll probably send my little card, my little picture of my card over to the Titans, and then you're going to get the brain poke every couple weeks. So I believe that's for everybody, every 2 weeks. But if it's positive tests for vaccinated teams, it's not going to be the same thing as if you could have prevented it. And yes, if the response is, well, you can test positive with the vaccine, again, it's not just about testing positive. It's about how your body reacts to the virus. And these variants are scary.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's become a problem again in certain parts of the country so far. And as you said, it looks to be trending the right way in the NFL with Jeremy Fowler reporting this morning that now 16 teams have hit that threshold. So that's good. I mean, you've still got a few more weeks before the season itself actually begins. Like, could you get to 24, 25 teams, 26 teams maybe before the start of the season? If so, I feel pretty good about things in the way that they're going.
Or at least, like, maybe, you know, because obviously you have – I mean, there's a time element here.
Sure.
When you start the process, at least, like, by early in the season. And then if you're on a team that's, like, one of a handful – you know, and then it gets into like the fans of that team. If that becomes known, you know, I mean, again, I hate the idea of people screaming at people about vaccinations,
right?
You know, and I think a lot of the discussion about this, like, I just look at it differently from say like wearing masks, which is not asking anything of anyone. It's just being like, you know, being courteous of other humans. This is more than that, and the discussion does get to like you're an idiot, shut up, do it, but I could see it getting that way with some teams if the rest of the league is vaccinated.
When we come back, we'll continue the discussion on the NFL, including a couple of conversations that Joe Rexroad is fed up with. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Going to have Scott Burnside from The Athletic join us to begin the 9 o'clock hour. We'll get into the expansion draft, NHL free agency, all things regarding how they could impact the Nashville Predators coming up at 9 o'clock with Scott Burnside from The Athletic. So looking forward to that conversation. Joe Rexroad, you began today's show by a passionate defense of Jared Stillman yesterday in a press conference.
Well, it wasn't passionate.
A passionate defense of Jared Stillman is how you began the show. And now, in order to have fair and balanced material here on the show, you'd like to counterbalance that by a passionate takedown of Jared Stillman. I turn the floor over to you.
I'd say you're overstating both things a little bit. But okay. I've been... So there's a couple things that have been talking points that have been also texting points between Jared and I this week. And Jared's not the only one here, but I have to revisit. This is me revisiting my Monday rant, okay, about Delanie Walker.
Which I'm here for.
I just have to get another word in on this. People are conflating this, including Jared. But actually, Jared's problem with this. So, you know what? I should have. I screwed this up because I should have asked Michelle to have the Delanie sound again, because Jared, and not just Jared, have heard that, what he said, the clip that we played Monday from the, and said they don't think he was talking about him in the Hall of Fame.
That's he was absolutely talking about him in the Hall of Fame.
What he was. Yes. Jared's like, well, he's talking about Eddie and Steve. No, no.
No, he's no, talking he was, about himself.
He was asked why he's going to keep playing. He said, want to win a Super Bowl, and it's sad that you have to do that to get kind of individual recognition. And then he talked about them and their gold jackets. He was talking about him and the Hall of Fame, okay? So let's start
very
there.
Clearly.
Let's start there with listening comprehension. 100% clear. And again, Jared's not the only one who somehow screwed that up. But I've seen a lot of, like, I agree with Delaney, and I do too in terms of attention on the franchise.
Yes.
That is fine. I don't think anybody would dispute that the Titans don't get as much attention that, if we're going to use Dallas as the great example, gosh, this morning, who was it, Tannenbaum's picking Dallas as the top contender
to challenge the Bucks? Yeah.
Now, is this because Tannenbaum is, like, blinded by the star or something? Or is it just because he just has a bad football opinion? I don't know.
I don't know.
But the Cowboys, whether they're bad, whether they're good, in between, they get a ton of attention. So that's fine. And does that hurt players on a yearly basis? That's fine, too. I can buy that, sure. Like Pro Bowls, things like that. And that's the only place that I'll take it with, okay, an accumulation of Pro Bowls, I guess, because you were in Dallas, and a lack of accumulation of Pro Bowls because you were in Tennessee or Jacksonville. Does that end up, like, mattering in the room? I mean, maybe a smidge, and maybe, you know, there's some kind of unconscious bias in there for the Steelers and the Cowboys. But, again, I think anyone who – Delaney Walker's not a Hall of Famer in any uniform. So if you said that, you're dead wrong. I think he said that. And Jared also says Eddie George is absolutely a Hall of Famer if his same exact career is in Dallas, which I completely reject. Tony Romo was brought up. Tony Romo is a great example. Big numbers, absolute superstar, talked about all day long in Dallas. No one's going to put him in the Hall of Fame. And Troy Aikman is in the Hall of Fame because he won the Super Bowls. I agree that Troy Aikman is not the elite quarterback that some of the other quarterbacks of that era were. He's not Elway. He's not Marino. But
still pretty darn good.
He was pretty darn good. He wasn't just a passenger. Also, he won the rings, which, whether it's fair or not, that is a distinguisher. That there's no doubt. But just being in Dallas is why he's in the Hall of Fame? No, it's because he won championships with Dallas. So I think a lot of this is just, do you believe that the Hall of Fame committee does a thorough job or not? And I think anybody who talks to someone who's been in that room or pays attention to the process, it's so deeper than these artificial things that it's just, you got to be able to separate. We're conflating the two things, the attention and what it does to players in short term and the Hall of Fame, totally different thing. Derrick Henry, if he doesn't get hurt, he's played his whole career. He's played in that stadium at times with 35% of the fans being from the other team or whole thousands of empty seats. Derrick Henry will get in the Hall of Fame. I mean, that's because of who he is as a player. So there's one. And the other one is the Tom Brady stuff, which –
which I don't know that we even talked about here on the
yeah,
show.
Actually, I don't think we talked about it either. So Brady, again, did an interview, and he, again, this was Jim Gray, right? I think
yes.
This was Brady. And
anytime it's Brady, usually it's Jim Gray.
That's true. Jim Gray, who, you know, famously, you know, interviewed your beloved LeBron James for the decision. So Jim Gray, you know, Tom Brady asked – or Jim Gray asked Tom Brady again, you know, who basically everybody's trying to get to who exactly were you talking about when you said you're sticking with that MF-er, right? And, you know, so Jared's take on this is like, there is no question he's talking about Tannehill and the Titans. But yes, there is.
There is a question.
I don't know that. I actually, if I had to bet, like, don't mess this up, your house is on this, I would bet Garoppolo in the 49ers.
That was my, yeah.
I don't know that, but I do know that, yes, there's doubt. Yes, there's doubt. He's talking about one particular team, one particular. Now, is he, when he's talking about in general getting passed over and these other teams, sure. I mean, I would think the Titans would be included in that. But that that word, that quarterback, I don't know. I would guess Garoppolo. Maybe he was talking about Tannehill.
I mean, it could be possible. Tannehill. The point is, we don't really know who he was talking about. My guess is Garoppolo. Like, I'm trying to remember who was in the mix for Brady. You know, San Francisco, he's from there.
Well, Chicago is another reported team, and I mean, certainly Trubisky
could be that.
Now, I don't know. Like, again, I don't know where that all went or how serious it got, but yeah, there were a few others too. But Garoppolo, I mean, stands out, especially because that was a big sticking point for Brady and Belichick when Garoppolo was with him, right?
Yep.
I mean, it just makes sense. But hey, he also saw a lot of Tannehill and beat him routinely when he was with New England and Tannehill was with Miami, so it could be him. But there's doubt.
But the last time he saw Tannehill, he lost to him.
He did. And
Tannehill threw for 90 yards or whatever it was.
And yet was still better than Brady.
He was.
That night. Believe it or not. If you watch the game, you know. If you looked at the box score, you don't know.
I just love getting you fired up about that every time.
Well, I feel better because, you know, although usually, Jared and I, we have our arguments and conversations. We kind of keep it separate sometimes. Not all the time. But I really defended him today, and it felt wrong. So now I feel a little bit better. Thank you for letting me do that.
A little bit more balance. Dwight texting in on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. How is Terrell Davis in the NFL Hall of Fame when a third of his yards came in one season? I think it's because they like him, and he's at the NFL Network. This is coming from Dwight in Kentucky.
Right, like there always has to be some, like, again, like conspiracy reason for something. You can't say it's like because Denver is, you know, one of the absolute headline markets, right, in the NFL. And they're a good brand. I mean, Denver's been to Super Bowls, won a couple. So, I mean, but Denver's not, like the Broncos are not like the Cowboys.
No.
Steelers or what the Patriots have become the last 20 years, right? They're not the Packers.
No.
But Davis is
got another player that might need to keep that in mind, too. They're not the Packers.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Remember that, A-Rod.
See what happens with number 12 coming up in a couple of days.
No, yeah. Well, and that's the thing. So Davis is really interesting because he is – a lot of people contest that. He doesn't have the accumulation. You know, he's got 7,600 yards. But what does he have? Two Super Bowls.
Yep.
And a 2,000-yard season. And this is why, like, when I talk about Derrick Henry, when he's up and they're talking about him, we don't know how the rest of his career is going to play out. But right now, the way he's going, he's gonna get past 10K, and he's got that 2,000-yard season, which that's a big deal. It is. That's a big deal. I mean, that's a milestone achievement that's just obviously only been done by a handful of people. He also had 21 TDs that year. So, I mean, I agree. He was just so dominant
about a three-year stretch.
Yeah, so dominant for 3 years. It's the flat-out best running back in the league. You know, they're running that zone scheme, and he's just incredible. And then he falls off and gets hurt, and it's a shortened career. I mean, it's fair to contest it, but that's why. Rings and a big milestone. Rings are so much more on the Hall of Fame front than market. I mean, market is like they are dissecting these players, again, down to every little thing that you can talk about with them.
Got a texter that says, Joe's going to be like at the end of the crying game after defending Stillman. Well, that's why you feel better about this segment, because you've gone the other way now. You've gone back on the attack.
Okay. Do you understand that reference?
It's the movie, right? The Crying Game.
Okay. I'm just going to leave
that.
That's
a 90s movie.
Yeah, I'm going to leave that alone. I don't totally understand what the text you're saying, but I'm going to leave that alone.
Okay.
Well, let's just leave that alone.
Let's do that. We already read that text. Never mind. Not going to read that one again. So I don't want to double down.
Don't read that one again.
Double down on – no, it wasn't that one. There's another text. There's got a another text that I've already read at that point, so I'm not going to go back to that.
Anyway, have some of that, Jared.
So do you want to go back and defend him again next segment?
That's right. We're defending him next segment.
Gosh darn it. When we come back, Joe Rexroad goes from the attack to the defense of Jared Stillman with the Nashville Predators. They held a press conference yesterday, and an interesting back and forth between Stillman and David Poyle on why Tanner Janot was protected in the expansion draft. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tune in to Nashville Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9. Tonight, the Sounds begin a six-game series on the road against Jacksonville, the Triple-A affiliate of the Miami Marlins. Pre-game show with Jeff Hem starts at 5:50, and first pitch is at 6:05. Nashville Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9, presented by 312 Pizza Company. They'll also be in Jacksonville over the weekend as well. Saturday on 102.5 The Game, first pitch at 5:35, and Sunday on ESPN 94.9, first pitch at 5:35 as well. So a weekend full of Nashville Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9 and on 102.5 The Game as well. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. And the expansion draft now in the rearview mirror for the Nashville Predators. We'll have Scott Burnside from The Athletic coming up at 9 o'clock. But David Poile held a press conference yesterday, and not a ton came from it. Looking ahead to the NHL draft tonight as well. And David Poile was asked by Jared Stillman yesterday about why the decision to protect Tanner Jeannot was made by him and the Nashville Predators heading into the expansion draft. Of course, the Predators lose Callie Yarncroak. He was unprotected, now a member of the Seattle Kraken. Here was Jared's question yesterday to David Poile on why Tanner Jeannot was protected in the expansion draft with Seattle.
With all due respect, you guys have already punted on the long-term deal with Arvidsson and Ellis, and you exposed both Johansson and Duchesne. How do those that you report to feel perhaps about the lack of the return on investment with these big contracts?
What do you mean by that?
I think I'm going to cut out a little bit. But anyway, that question went on to from Jared about Poile asking about the ownership group and the big contracts that the Predators have signed, whether it's Victor Arvidsson or Ryan Ellis, now with Johansson and Duchesne as well, with contracts still on the books. And Poile didn't really answer the question. I mean, there wasn't much he was going to say on that question after that. Said he feels like, you know, if Johansson and Duchesne bounce back, this team could still be pretty good. And he knows that they have not played well the last couple of years and that it's on them at this point to turn things around and play well. But I thought two questions between that one from Jared yesterday and also the question about Tanner Jeannot, two fair questions from Jared Stillman yesterday, and the reaction on Pred's Twitter after the first one, where David Poile essentially said, with all due respect, I know more than you know about this situation, and then went on to explain that some conversations he had with Seattle may have led him to believe that maybe Tanner Jeannot would have been selected, so therefore he was protected. Callie Yarncroak was not. I think in a vacuum, a lot of people ran with the, with all due respect, I think I know more than you know, with Jared Stillman yesterday.
Yeah, well, and this is where...
maybe in your fault.
Yeah, my tweet, you know, it's you got limitations, you got character counts, and yeah, I know more than you know. Let me find the exact tweet, which got a lot of reaction from Pred's Twitter, which I believe would have only gotten that reaction with one questioner in town. Maybe there's others, but like for people who routinely get in the press conferences and talk to the Preds and talk about the Preds, I think just one, and it was Jared. Here's the quote I had. So I said, you know, David Poile, presser asked by Stillman why I protected Jeannot, not Yarncroak. All due respect, you don't know as much as I know, .. There had to be somebody to make available. My final decision was we had to protect our younger players. So, you know, it's like one of those things where you're listening to him talk, you type in the stuff, you tweet it, and I think people looked at that. I mean, if you just read it, more of a dunking on you're dumb and I'm smart than it really was, because he was saying, yeah, like you said, he was saying, don't know as much as I know about this specific situation. So some of the blame goes to me. But I would like to give more blame to Pred's Twitter, because, I mean, you've been, you know, you're so mad at Poile. And I'm, look, rightfully so, the way things have gone over the last few years. I mean, David Poile fully deserves scrutiny and criticism right now for the way things have gone. but you immediately go to Boyle, you rock, baby, because you know because he said that to Stillman, which again was more respectful than probably that tweet suggests. And I will say it again, like it's interesting, just the whole Preds Twitter in particular thing with Jared. Now, every once in a while, he'll have these takes, like Yarncroke would have fetched a first-round pick next year. What? I mean, some of the takes deserve all the dunking you
can. He's really hung up on that Ryan Hartman one, isn't he? He thinks that now everybody's going to get a first-round pick.
Yeah, that's like the justification is like yeah. Any, you know, and the Ryan Hartman obviously was a terrible trade.
Of course, but it's each deadline is different.
And Hartman at that point, there was a very it was a small sample size, right. And he had had a 26 goals in the 1 year.
Yeah, he played with Patrick Kane, but yeah,
right. But so it was like, okay, well maybe that's his upside. Yarncroke, we know what he is. He's a very good, all around versatile role player at a good price, and I think he would be an asset at the trading deadline. If they had him next year, I think they'd get something for him. A
sure.
First-round pick?
No.
My God. So anyway, there's takes that are certainly worthy of being shamed. But, I mean, I listened to that show. Jared knows hockey and the team well and does a lot of – I mean, I like the show. And I'll say this as many times as you can say it. Go around – to these various markets, you will find people who fire cannons at athletes and teams in their town and then never, ever show up. And Jared is not that person. So I think that deserves some respect.
Some breaking news in Major League Baseball. The Cleveland Indians have been renamed officially. They are now the Cleveland Guardians, and that will begin next season. So the Cleveland Indians transitioning to the Cleveland Guardians in Major League Baseball.
So I haven't seen – I just saw this come across. I haven't seen the explanation of picking that name.
I haven't either. There's a video out with it.
Okay.
But I've not watched that because I'm on the air.
Like just my first blush, is it – you have like the word – the second part of the word is the same?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
DNs to DNs?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. But Cleveland Guardians. Okay. So, you know, it's not – I mean, I can get used to that. The Cleveland Guardians.
So is the Washington football team going to come up with a name at some point?
Well, they had
I've heard Washington Warriors.
What, you know, what's interesting about that is, you know, Marquette was the Warriors and changed that to Golden Eagles because that's also you could be taken as a Native American reference.
Right.
But there are a few others with Washington, right? Like Admirals? Did I see that? I thought that there was a list of four or five possibilities. I kind of like, why not just be the Washington football team? So we had a texter on our text line earlier today, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, who said, why can't Nashville SC have a nickname?
Right.
You know, like the Nashville SC Kickers or something. And my answer to that would be, I forgot to respond, but now I am. You know, that's it's a soccer thing. I mean, it's Nashville SC. I mean, this is what you call, you know, Chelsea FC, whatever.
FC Cincinnati, who they're playing tomorrow.
So why can't Washington football team just be WFT, man? Washington football team. I kind of like it. It's different. And then you can say when they mess up, WTF, WFT.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. I don't know. Maybe that's something they'll stick with. I mean, we all know. I mean, the ownership in that place, they make great decisions all the time for the Washington football team. So
really solid, really solid ownership.
Really solid. There you go.
You know, it's about being good people first, you know?
Yeah.
That's where it starts. Yeah, anything bad that can happen to the WFT, fine with me. Although, it's hard not to like Ron Rivera. That's the thing. You bring a likable coach, you know? Got some likable players.
Yeah. Washington football team will be unveiling a new name and logo in early 2022. So this could be the last year of the Washington football team.
I think they should think about sticking with this. What do you think the approval rating from Cleveland baseball fans will be for the Cleveland Guardians?
I don't think very high.
Yeah, I mean, but what, was there anything that would have been
no.
high? Nothing, because this is what they're used to, and I understand it. I mean, they got rid of the ridiculously racist logo a long time ago. That was good. But Cleveland Guardians, I mean, I want to read about exactly how they came to this, but it's interesting.
It is interesting. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chris texting in, is it just me or is Twitter just a cesspool of angry individuals? It is not just you.
That's the first time I've heard that.
It's what Twitter is.
You may be onto something.
Yes, might be.
Now, if I could someday, I may just die before this happens. But if I don't die before this happens, someday I'm going to enjoy a part of my life where I'm just totally not on Twitter, and it's going to be
really. Exciting. You think you're going to get there?
At some point, that's my goal. It's kind of like my new life goal is to spend a portion of my life. Like, just done with Twitter.
Do you think you could get through this weekend without logging on to Twitter one time?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, we went on vacation, went to the West Coast a couple weeks ago. I looked at it, like, twice all week.
Okay.
So, but that's still a short period of time. I mean, if you get past probably a week or so, you know. You start
itching a little bit.
But the thing is, Twitter I think is actually good as a news feed.
Yeah.
Right? So that's where it's useful. But if you could get to the point even where you just use it as a news feed, but you don't have any sort of account, you don't interact with people, you just read stuff.
It's your burner.
It may be about time for that. How many? I mean, Jared's probably got like 9 of them, right?
Yeah.
I mean, all the people like defending him yesterday, I assume those are Jared burner accounts.
Heidi? Have we determined?
Is Heidi Lou or is Heidi Jared?
Who knows? Maybe we'll find out. When we come back, we will be joined by Scott Burnside from The Athletic. We'll get into all things NHL with him, including free agency coming up here in just a few days. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.